Okay, so much
Beautiful.
later.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, so we'll call the first meeting of our 2022 Public Works, Capital Projects, and Transportation to order. If you would all, let's see, all please rise to the pledge to the flag. Mr. Legislator Litz, thank you. Thank you. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And Nettie, if you wouldn't mind doing the attendance for us.
Okay. Chair Petit?
Here.
Deputy Chair Fabiano?
Here.
Legislator Litz?
Here.
Legislator Nolan?
Here.
And Legislator Stewart?
Here.
Okay, everybody's here, Chair.
Very good, thank you. So with that, what I'd like to do, we'll do the approval of the minutes, and then we'll get into some introductions since we have some new people and new faces and a whole new mission for this year. So may I have a motion to approve the December 1st, 2021 meeting minutes?
I'll move it.
Okay, Legislator Fabiano. Okay, Legislator Litz made the motion and Legislator Fabiano seconded it. So I would like to welcome everyone. This
you
is
call the vote on the minutes.
All those in favor?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Very good. Thank you, Legislator Nolan. So I would like to welcome everyone. We have actually a you know very busy agenda. But there is a lot going on in the county as we continue to recover from the pandemic and so far skirted around some economic crisis, but it's also led to, you know, housing instability and food insecurity and, you know, there's just quite a bit on the table right now. So if we could, we don't have a lot of folks here, but if you could all introduce yourself, we'll start with the legislators, just to kind of get an idea of, where you're at and what you're interested in. We'll start with Legislator Fabiano.
Thank you, Chairwoman Petit. Yes, Legislator Fabiano, I represent parts of the town of Saugerties, town of Ulster. I represent District 3. I've been on this committee for quite some time. I've chaired it for 6 years, and I'm looking forward to work with Chairwoman Petit and as her vice chair and to assist her in any possible way I can to make her job easier. Me and Legislator Petit, we go back a long way, and I'm just looking for the challenges that are coming ahead in the next 2 years. And I think, especially for the new legislator that's here and Legislator Nolan, who's been here, you'll find that this is a very or should be a very non-political committee. It's about keeping our highways and bridges safe and provide the highway commissioner's office and his staff with the resources they need to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I'm just kind of picking folks as they appear on the screen. So, Legislator Nolan, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, thanks. I represent District 22, which is the four westernmost towns of Ulster County, Olive, Shendaken, Denning, and Hardenburg. It's the largest district geographically of any of the districts in Ulster County, and quite rural with a very sparsely divided out population. And I enjoyed serving on this committee 4 years ago when I was in the legislature, and I'm happy to return. Nice to see the legislators Litz, Fabiano, and Petit, and Green, I guess, who were here at that time, and Chairwoman Bartels as well, who often was in our meetings 4 years ago as well. So nice to see you all.
Legislator Stewart.
Hi, I'm Eric Stewart, and I represent District 18, which is portions of Marbletown and portions of Hurley. And prior to my election in November, I served on the town board in Marbletown for 4 years, which was a great experience, and I was working with Rob's brother. So it's nice to see you, Rob. This is actually my first committee meeting, so I'm looking forward to working with you all.
Thank you. Legislator Litz.
I represent District 9, which is Western Lloyd and Eastern Plattekill. I've served on this committee, I guess, for a few terms. Looking forward to our bright future.
And we do have Legislator Green. I know you're not officially on this committee, but she's very committed to it, and she wanted to make sure she was here with us. Okay, while we're waiting, oh, I'm sorry, okay.
I'm sorry. Manager Green, I represent District 19. Which is Rosendale and the other half of Marbletown. And, you know, I kind of feel like public works is where the rubber hits the road. So I'm going to spend as much time as I can here. And I do chair energy and environment. And sometimes the resolutions go to both those committees. Thank you.
Okay. And Chair Bartels.
Thank you. I'm Tracy Bartels. I represent District 16, which is all of Gardner and portion of Shungum. And I just want to thank each of you for agreeing to serve on the committee. I'm really looking forward to this session, and I know we have a great team here today. I'd like to welcome also all the executive staff. I'm going to have to jump off shortly, but I'll be back and forth, and again, thank you. Thank you all for agreeing to serve on this important committee.
Thank you. And I'm Laura Petit. I represent District 8 in Esopus. I had also served at the same time that Rob Parody was serving the legislature. It's nice to see you here. And I mean, I have some background. Unfortunately, I didn't get to build my first bridge till about 4 or 5 years ago when I wrote a grant for Mike Cafaldo here. But it was very interesting to see, you know, he was very concerned about the 100-year floods and, you know, making sure that it was no longer, I guess it was more of a covert pipe than anything else. So technically, since it was going to be over 25 feet, it turned into a bridge. It was a pretty neat process. So I have a lot more learning to do, so that there'll be hopefully a more narrow curve. But so with that, we should start opening up the resolutions for this next.
Laura, you build one, you build them all. Bigger, yeah.
There, that's true.
I didn't get the grant, though, and the bridge is still yellow flagged.
would it be okay if the members of the executive team introduce themselves? Because there's some new people to me, and they may be all new to some of the people here.
Okay, so who have we got first? Well, we have Mark Ryder.
Oh, Mira, I've talked to most of you. Deputy County Executive, I oversee Public Works. As one of my departments in the portfolio, happy to be here and assist the committee in answering questions and supporting the work of roads and bridges and buildings getting built.
Thank you. And Deputy Executive Chris Kelly.
Good evening. I'll be a little less talkative. I'm a bit under the weather this evening. But 3 weeks into the job, I'm having a blast already working with all the legislators. Tonight I'm here for ARP, but you'll also be seeing me quite a bit in terms of UCAT and that stuff. And I can say that roads and bridges are near and dear to my heart because I come from the transportation side, working from the state for the Bridge Authority for several years. So well-versed in that area and love all the work that our team's doing. So look forward to working with everybody.
And how does the committee feel about meeting our representatives here from Public Works? Yes? Okay. So Don, you're in the top corner here.
Hi, Don Quisnell.
You're the numbers guy, right?
I'm one of the deputy commissioners of Public Works. I do a lot of their numbers. So because of that, I'm involved with both highways, engineering, and the buildings and ground side of the house.
Thank you. And Brendan Masterson, our director of Public Works.
Hi, I'm Brendan. Recently been confirmed by you folks. Thank you very much. I'm privileged and happy to be serving for you guys as your commissioner.
And Rob Parody.
Hi, everyone. It's good to be back. I happen to be working for the commissioner in my role as a deputy commissioner, handling contracts and capital projects. And it is good to be here with all of you. Thanks.
Thank you.
And if we could Nathan, go to the ARP team really quick, Laura.
Hi, legislature.
Oh, sure.
If I can introduce myself, Legislature Pettit. Sorry to jump in, but there's a whole new division. And my name is Nate Litwin. I'm the Director of Recovery and Resilience. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. If we got another minute, Molly Scott and Ashley Long are also with me and are also part of my team.
Would you like to be introduced, Ashley?
Hi, I'm Ashley. I'm the Recovery and Resilience Project Manager.
Thank you. And Molly?
Hi, I'm Molly, and I am the Assistant to the Director of Recovery and Resilience.
Okay. It's nice to meet everyone. So there's Legislator Stewart, there's new things going on for me too. So, all right. So now we'll get moving on to our resolutions. We have resolution number 29, funding capital project number 601, the ARPA Small Business and Economic Recovery. Do I hear a motion? To open it for discussion? Legislator Nolan and Legislator Litz a second. Okay. Small businesses,
So I'd be happy to.
Okay, thank you.
Discuss. This is a project that is, the ask is for funding is $1 million. It was done previously. So this is a grant that has been administered once before for the amount of $1 million. And that money came from the CARES Act. And now the economic development team and department handled that successfully. They have more applications than they were able to award. And they are wishing to continue the program. There has been a bucket created for small business, which is in the 2022 capital projects budget. That's for $2 million and they're asking for half so that they can basically do a round two for this grant program, which will be, forgive me, I'm memory serving here, but it's, I believe, maximum of $35,000, which would go to qualified small businesses in Ulster County.
Actually, that was going to be, I'm sorry. I don't know what the proper format is. Do I raise my hand or do I just blurt out a question?
Well, we had Legislator Litz and then we'll have you, Legislator Stewart.
Thank you.
You're on deck. Okay.
Sorry.
actually, Eric, if you go down where it says reactions, there's a little bar there. You can raise your hand.
Oh, that's how we prefer to do things. Okay, great. Thank you.
It makes it easier for the chairwoman.
Or flail. So I see you. Yeah. Flailing's good too.
My question is it going to be administered exactly the way it was for round one CARES Act? because part of the vetting of the applications, they are sent to the state and approved prior to the contracts being administered through the EDA.
But I'm happy to take that one. Since this is not state pass-through funding, we're applying the same criteria, but the state won't have a say in the pre-application process.
It will go through
locally administered.
Okay, so they will be...
same criteria, but
right,
it won't
same
be the
criteria,
same.
The yeah. only difference will be the state will not be receiving them. The state does not have to approve them. Are they still going to be vetted by county council?
Yep.
And are they going to be approved by the EDA by vote?
Yes. Yep. That's why we're doing the same contract, and it's the essentially the same scope of services within the contract as it was with the CARES Act.
Cool. No problem. I just wanted it in writing in the minutes.
Thank you. Legislator Stewart?
So my question was, I mean, who determines eligibility? That's the state, and I guess this is sort of along the lines of what Herb was asking. But, I mean, who determines who is eligible to receive this and what qualifications do they have to meet?
There's a bunch of different criteria that was included with the package. I'd be happy to get you the specifics. I think they were probably provided to the committee. So.
Okay, my apologies if I didn't see that. Thank you, though.
I know we, so just other point of clarification, when we met with the ARPA team or the ARPA special committee, there was a series of questions posed that we just received today, similar to this, that we'll also be submitting to that committee, just on those specifics. But I'm sure I can get you that stuff earlier as well.
And I was also curious, like, what is the definition of a small business for this program?
25 or less on this program.
Thank you.
So, Legislator Litz, Legislator Green, and then Nathan, did you want to respond to one of the questions first?
Yeah, just a follow-up comment, which is that from my perspective and grant administration, it made sense that, yes, this is not CDBG CARES Act funding. It is ARPA funding, but they have the applications already. They just were so successful and have so many applications that the idea is to reach those applications that are in the possession and eligible. And therefore, I thought my thinking is that with the CARES Act criteria the same as much as possible, although a different source of funding, that's fairness, and that's, I think, proper grant administration in this case.
Legislator Litz?
Nathan, very well done. You've answered the question that I was going to ask.
All right. And Legislator Green?
I just wanted to know if when the questions were sent from ARPA to the executive branch, if it included a question about climate impact, and my feeling is that if there's no impact on climate that is apparent, or if it's part of a climate solution, then we should be funding it. But at this point in time, if there is going to be a net negative impact, I would not favor, funding a specific project. So was that one of the questions that we sent over?
I can take that. I will take a look at the question sent over by Deputy Clerk Amber Feaster, but I do hear your comment, Legislator Green, and it's something you brought up just with regards to all the projects we're discussing. I think that I don't want to speak for that specific program because it's an existing application, but I do think it's something that we have to consider as we're entering into contracts for these projects. I mean, certainly the county executive, as part of the Green New Deals, wants us to incorporate this within our thinking, but also our planning and projects. So, your concerns heard loud and clear on this, and we need to have that discussion when we're formulating these applications for both this and the other projects going forward. So I'd be happy to follow up with you on that. Great. One.
Thank you.
Legislator Litz, did you have another question?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And then following up with Chair Bartels. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I was able to attend the ARP meeting that was held the other night, and all of those resolutions, the five I believe they had, they took no action because they want to discuss it in 2 weeks and they want to get more information, and they may want to change the resolutions. From my understanding, that is a special committee, and this is a standing committee. It has to be voted on and moved to the floor from a standing committee. And whatever we vote on tonight, if we move it to the floor, that ARP committee can do whatever they want and change whatever they think they're going to change on resolutions, but that's not what's going to go to the floor unless somebody amends it on the floor. Somebody should clarify that with them.
Chair Bartels?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's not what I intended to speak on, but when we created the special committee, we imbued it specifically with all the powers of a standing committee, said it in the resolution that created the special committee. So the special committee has all powers that standing committees have. I'm not sure that what you're saying is correct, Legislator Litz, because it's called a special committee, but it has the powers of a standing. My comment, and then I'm going to have to jump off and I'm going to try to come back. But, my comment, two things. One is this would not normally be a resolution that would come to this committee. It's coming to this committee because it's being run as a capital project. I think it's safe to say we probably all agree that it's not a capital project in the strict sense of capital projects. And that's an ongoing reporting question that's happening that we're continuing to be open to discussing with the executive's office. But our rules require that capital projects come to this committee. So this and the next ARPA project are both here because they're being positioned as capital projects. I just want to say, I also attended the ARPA meeting. My biggest concern with all of this is that, we have a certain amount of funds, $34 million, and we have more need than we have money. And arguably, we have more projects proposed than we have money. We haven't, we're expecting from the executive's office, an analysis of all the legislative proposals from both caucuses from the last term that fell outside of those projects that made it into the discussion. But, I feel a real, as one legislator, I feel a real pressure to kind of do, as Legislator Criswell said, a kind of zoom out to make sure that we're not just doing first come, first serve on these projects, but we're actually agreeing to those projects that we think are most valuable, are going to have the biggest impact. And those are hard decisions to make. So that's the metric that I'm using as I approach all of these.
Deputy Executive Ryder, would you like to respond to that? And then we have Legislator Litz.
The only thing I wanted to add is that this is one of three standing committees that these resolutions are in front of. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities that, if the ARP committee makes any recommended changes to also make them in a standing committee. Although, as Chair Bartels pointed out, you gave that committee the powers of standing committee as well.
Legislator Litz and Legislator Nolan.
Well, I mean, there are three committees that are going to vet this or you know, go through this. What are we voting on tonight? I mean, we have a resolution in front of us that most likely is going to be changed by one of those committees. So are we going to have a special committee meeting to vote on a resolution after it's changed, or are we going to push this to next month and then vote on it next month? I mean, we're moving pretty quickly here, and we're looking at a resolution that's written before us. And before we even have the discussion and going to vote on it, it's most likely going to change. So are we moving too fast here? Or are we just going to take this resolution and put it to the floor and vote on it the way it is? I don't know.
Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. I take a slightly different perspective on this. I think that I viewed this resolution as is $1 million the right amount for this package of projects? And I know out in my district, people are asking, you know, we had a full year last year of looking at taking in applications, having public hearings, a very long process. And my constituents are saying, when are the projects going to be funded? So I feel more of a push to get the process going. And with multiple committee reviews, I do think that if there's a big problem, we'll have an opportunity to see it and weigh in on it. And I haven't been seeing that. I haven't seen that there are controversial aspects of the projects or that people are concerned that the wrong things are getting funded. People just want to see everything that's been said so far. Go ahead, move forward. So I think we can really, you know, hold back the relief that this money is intended to give people. And I'd rather see it out there doing the good.
Deputy Executive Kelly.
So I certainly echo Legislator Nolan's comments. We received this money nearly a year ago. We've gone through a deliberative process since June of last year when the plan was first presented. The legislature also approved the buckets, which small business relief, nonprofit relief, housing, all of those were a part of it. We also then approved these in the 2022 capital program. There is a demonstrated need in the community for additional assistance. Not everyone qualified for all of the PayTech protection loans or some of the more complicated programs that got sucked up by much larger businesses in a much quicker fashion. This program is means tested. It's not for large businesses. A lot of sole proprietors out there that need this assistance, and that's why we currently have a backlog. We have applications ready to be funded that are worthy of this assistance. I think if you reach out to the chamber or to other business organizations throughout the county, they will tell you that they are still struggling. Delta hit, then Omicron hit. This thing it's not over. And the business community is certainly still suffering. In terms of changes, I do hear what you're saying, Legislator Litz, but when I'm talking about changes in terms of the discussion of incorporating climate change into an application, that doesn't change the funding ask. That's not a fundamental change to the resolution or what we're asking. That would be us in discussions with the ARP committee or with you all on this committee and others of making sure that the applications that we're going to be sending out to, whether it's not-for-profit, business, whoever, fit the community need based on your feedback as well. So I do think the ask for $1 million is right. And I think the timing is more than right. We have been waiting. It is February, and we have to start showing our community. The executive feels very strong about this, that this money is going to start hitting them and helping them now.
I'll have Nathan and then Legislator Litz.
Yeah, I just wanted to provide some details of the federal rules and how this funding source works, and I won't be very long, but this does come from the U.S. government through U.S. Treasury. There is a regulation document called the final rule. What I think this it's important for this committee to know is that there is a timeline with the funding. So it does need to be obligated, which is essentially in contract by the end of 2024, which may sound like a long time away, but with $34 million to obligate, that can come quick. And then it needs to be expended by the end of 2026. My second point is that small business nonprofits that have been impacted by the pandemic are specified directly as beneficiaries of this funding. So it is in the regulations, and it does spell out who should receive this funding, and they are designated as recipients, not recipients, I'm sorry, but as beneficiaries.
Okay, Legislator Litz, and then Legislator Fabiano.
I don't want to give anybody the wrong impression. I am well behind this. I'm on the EDA. $1 million is not enough. I am a proponent of small business. That's the backbone of our whole country. I just want to make sure that the resolution we're voting on is proper, correct, so it doesn't go backwards instead of forwards. But I am all for this, and I will vote yes on this resolution. But if wholesale changes are coming about, I always have the opportunity to vote no during session.
Legislator Fabiano?
Yeah, I pretty much want to echo what Legislator Litz said. My concern here is that if this special committee is going to conduct themselves like a regular committee, why do they have to come to us at all? Why can't they just move their resolutions to the floor? I mean, to me, it's like, to me, it seems from Chairwoman Bartels and the executives people, what they're going to do in this committee is pretty much already engraved in stone. Or they should just simply send a recommendation to this committee and let the decisions on how the resolutions will read come from this committee. It seems here like we're taking a talk about slowing things down. It seems to me like we're taking then an unnecessary step by coming to this committee. And like Legislator Litz said, you have the opportunity to debate it and vote on it on the floor. I mean, I'm supportive of this, absolutely. I just don't know why, if this special committee has this much authority, why does it even have to come here? Why can't it be debated on the floor and voted on the floor?
Because they made it a capital project.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get,
that's just county, my opinion.
I was going to call you county executive, deputy executive.
That's 1 3-week promotion right there, huh? to both Legislator Litz and Legislator Fabiano's points, I think that the legislature is trying to feel their way through and find the best way to give the best proper vetting to these projects. I mean, I can say certainly, not that I don't love spending time with y'all every couple nights or twice a night sometimes, but I'm sure there could be a more efficient way, and I think we'll get there. I know there's an active discussion going on between our staff, legislative staff, and Comptroller Gallagher, regarding just some of the structuring of the projects. We went in with the best intention, and we thought it was the best organization. And I think over time, we may find that we will pivot on that, not to avoid this great committee, but it may not always be appropriate to talk about it here. And then in an hour, we're gonna be talking about some of these in economic development, and then twice a month in ARP special, and I don't know, I'm sure there's others Nettie could remind me of that'll be coming at some point. So certainly we're open. For us, it's just making sure that we provide you all with the proper information and answer all of your questions in a timely manner. Right now, feels a little scrambled, but we're doing our level best to get you guys everything, and we'll continue to do so.
Legislator Litz?
One last thing. The reality of the situation is the amount of applications that the EDA received and have vetted and quasi-approved well exceeds this $1 million. So, right. I mean, it's done. I mean, we already know who is going to get money because they've already been vetted. The county, our council, county lawyers have already checked all of this out. Contracts are ready to be signed. All we need to do is get the money and hand it out. So that's the reality of the situation. The process has been there. We received close to 300 applications, and with the CARES Act, only able to, you know, fund maybe, I don't know, what are we up to, 35, 42 mm-hmm. out of the 300? So, and some of the applications were deemed informal or non-complete, but completed applications that are worthy of this process or this funding way exceeds an extra $1 million. So we don't even have to worry about the process. The process is done. We just need the funding.
And I listened in on the ARPA meeting as well, and there were some good points taken. But, you know, after many phone calls, you know, including, I mean, I had asked why can't it go through the Department of Economic Development, and I was told clearly why. So, I mean, my questions have been answered as well. And I do agree we need to start moving. I've been, you know, complaining myself that, you know, gee, we've been sitting on this money since June or July, and we really do need to infuse it back into the local economy. So what is the pleasure of the committee then? Should we call the vote?
Call the question.
I'll move it.
Okay. All right. So with that, resolution number 29, ayes?
Aye.
Okay. Is there anyone opposed? No. So it passes unanimously. Okay. Thank you. The next resolution, number 30, funding capital project number 599, ARPA not-for-profit youth and community programs. Can I hear a motion to open it for discussion?
So moved.
Second.
Legislator Stewart, second. Legislator Fabiano.
It didn't occur to me until rereading this as we were getting to it that I may have a conflict here. So I'm going to recuse myself out of an abundance of caution. It would be my role as a volunteer, but in a leadership role with a nonprofit in Ulster County. So I'll mute myself and turn off my video during this discussion.
That's actually a good question. We don't have legal counsel here, but I mean, I'm on a not-for-profit as well. Do we need to all recuse ourselves if our application hasn't been submitted, or would that be saved for the actual vote? Nathan, while we're contemplating that, I see your hand is up.
Okay, just letting you know I'm available to speak on this. If the committee is ready for me to go forward, I presented a PowerPoint at the ARP committee. I know there's a large agenda tonight, so I'm not planning to do that tonight. But as far as the broad strokes of this funding, the funding ask is $1.5 million. The parameters of the grant are that it is for Ulster County nonprofits who have faced and been impacted by the pandemic by a lost revenue. Or there's a second application pathway, which is they have seen an increase in 13 areas for community services. Should be in the packet what those areas are, but if needed, I can list them. The idea is that nonprofits who have been impacted by the pandemic are beneficiaries under ARPA funding. And this is an opportunity to provide that to our county's nonprofits so that they can hopefully assist this county well into the future. And that's the purpose of it. I do have a lot of the details as far as what we're asking in the applications, what we've created and written in the instructions. So there is process created as far as what people will submit to us and what the oversight will be. As far as we have worked, and when I say our, I say our division has worked to make this as flexible as possible, knowing that there is administration in handling grants and reporting, and this is going to beneficiaries. So we have tried to make it as accessible as possible while still having the appropriate amount of oversight to make sure that the funds are well used. That said, we know that the smaller the nonprofit is, the harder it can be to administer. So if there are nonprofits that fit our criteria who apply for less than $10,000, then that money will go to them. They will still have reporting requirements, but they will receive 100% upfront. The grant can be between $5,000 or just under $50,000. So if there is someone receiving a grant over $10,000, they would receive 50%, then be required to submit all expenditure documentation, and then they would get the second 50% and also be required to submit documentation when that's expended. So I hope that gives the general parameters of this. I'm happy to answer any other questions.
Deputy Executive Ryder on the question of recusing, because I mean, I'm on a not-for-profit. We weren't planning on putting in for any funding, but should I recuse myself as well and turn it over to my Vice Chair Fabiano?
So I'm not your counsel, but
yeah,
I think that as, you know, Legislator Litz recuses himself on specific projects, right, oftentimes.
Right.
If he were to have to recuse himself on every Bridge New York program or other things, I mean, that's the same scenario here. This is just funding a project for nonprofits. If your nonprofit either A, is not planning on submitting, or it's early in the process to even say that, then I think that's a different scenario. I also have texted Legislative Council to see if he's willing to jump on. So he said he's free for a call. I'll see if I can get him on here.
Okay. All right. So I guess we'll move forward with questions. Legislator Litz?
Well, I mean, I was just going to say, in my opinion, if you – this is to produce funding – you know, a federal funding program. If you currently have an application in as a non-for-profit, then I would think you would have to recuse yourself. If you do not, this is just a pot of money.
Right.
Okay. Very good. So do we have any other questions or comments on resolution number 30? Deputy Executive Kelly.
So I just wanted to say we did undertake an effort to try to understand some of the not-for-profit world just from a grantor experience, because that's not typically the seat that at least we've sat in. We're usually the ones getting the money from others. So we did reach out to the Dyson Foundation, United Way Community Foundations, Arts Mid-Hudson, just to get a sense of how to shape this program properly and to really address need. A lot of these organizations have been forced to either close their doors, limit programming, but in a lot of circumstances, what you've seen is expanded programming based on expanded need during the pandemic, especially when you're talking about institutions that are dealing with youth, that are dealing with higher instances of mental health related issues, anxiety, or just, you know, when I talked to Legislator Corcoran about his involvement down in Marlboro in youth sports, just how that has provided one of the only needed outlets for kids during this. So we took a lot of the feedback that we heard from a lot of the legislators over time, including the spreadsheet that I know was circulated last year, into trying to make this program broad, still within the guidelines that are called for in the interim final rule for this funding, and then also less burdensome. And I think Nate hit on this, is this: these programs are not supposed to be difficult for people to apply to. That's often a problem when you're dealing with state or federal funding, is you have to jump through tons and tons of red tape. And for smaller non-for-profit or for small businesses, they often don't have the resources or expertise. This is supposed to be lightweight, able to connect with the organizations that are doing important work. And we hope that you guys support this one.
I'm sorry. Okay, Legislator Nolan.
Thank you. I found the comments by Legislator Litz and Council and Deputy Director Ryder very helpful. I see that Legislative Council is going to try to join. I'm sorry, I've kind of stirred things up, but I should be able to participate. But if Legislative Council clarifies things further and that changes, then I can go back. No nonprofit that I work for currently has an application in for any of this funding. So I think that's probably a good cut point.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I was on this when we had the work group set up. This was a committee that I had been assigned to look at not-for-profits. And we were hoping that it wouldn't be all of the usual suspects, that there would be funding open and available for some of these smaller organizations that have been struggling. One happens to be an American Legion, and because they couldn't open, didn't have the bar open, they couldn't open the venue, they really had have trouble, meeting their operation needs. So, after asking a million questions and listening in to the ARPA meeting, you smiling because yeah, but I'm more comfortable with it than I was before for sure. So Deputy Executive, you moved, Ryder.
I was just letting you all know that Legislative Council was in the waiting room, but he's now joined. So
good evening. Oh,
hi.
Hi.
So, Council Ragucci, we asked the question as we're discussing in this particular case, it's the ARPA funding, but we do have, I am on a not-for-profit, Legislator Nolan is on a not-for-profit. Do we need to recuse ourselves, or since we don't directly have applications in for our organizations, can we have an open discussion during this committee meeting?
You can have open discussion. I would say, as a general rule, I defer the ethics questions, conflict questions, generally to the ethics board. But in this instance, it doesn't sound, from what you're saying, that there's a direct pecuniary benefit to you or any of your family members. So I would, based upon what you're saying, I think you're okay to proceed.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, good. Sure, my pleasure.
Okay. Nathan. You have your hand up.
Yes, just wanted to make a few points after your last comment, Legislature Pettit. This nonprofit is defined as a charitable organization, a 501c3, and also recently was expanded to include 501c19s, which are veteran services organizations. So that's, when we talk about nonprofits, that's who we're talking about. The other piece is that we also have tried to put some effort into making this so that not just the largest nonprofits who probably have gotten some type of funding get this. They're certainly welcome to apply. We will certainly review, but we have put some criteria in. Specifically, there is some consideration given to if a nonprofit hasn't received any funding from Ulster County within the last 5 years. And there is some consideration given if we are looking at an application that is from a geographic area of Ulster County, where we have received no other applications. So two things that we wanted to be sensitive to and we put into our documents.
Thank you. So, I mean, there were more questions at the ARPA meeting than they're going to be getting together again soon. I'll ask Legislator Litz has his hand up and then we'll call the question or, you know, see how the committee wants to move forward on this.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to ask, is there going to be a question on the application which states, have you received any funding from any other federal, state, or local program for these funds?
And I'll respond. I don't have it directly in front of me. We do have the applications written, and we do look for other funding that has been received.
Okay. I just don't want people double dipping. That's all.
Yeah.
Understood. That question did come up at the chair meeting, and Deputy Executive Kelly, the response was that the question would be asked. Is that where we were moving forward with that? But it was, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it was more about we had a question in there, and what I think it was Chair Bartels was asking is if we could narrow it, because the question was more broadly construed to cover all funding streams in terms of Novo came up or other non-for-profit organizations that are typically funders. And what we were looking at is more in terms of other federal programs for the same purpose, in terms of how we frame our questioning. So that's the double dip to us. But we, you know, I haven't had time to connect with Nate and the team in the last 12 hours yet on that other question, we will certainly answer it to the other committees as well.
Okay. So how is this committee feeling right now? You ready to move forward and we'll call the vote?
Call the question.
Okay. So all in favor of resolution number 30?
Aye.
Dean?
I'm a yes, aye.
Yes, okay. So it's unanimous. I guess I still have to say any no's, but all right, thank you. The next one. Public works folks, should we skip over this next one because these have been very involved conversations, or should we stay in order and then I believe all the other resolutions are theirs.
What?
I'm sorry. Yeah. Deputy Executive Ryder.
I mean, we just have one more and then we can get the ARP team out of here.
Okay.
So why don't we finish this one right, and then.
We're going to move it anyway to the floor.
One and done.
Okay.
If Dean is making a motion, I'll second it for resolution 31.
Okay. All right. So we'll open that one up for discussion.
And I'd be happy to present and give some broad strokes on this
Thank
as
you.
Well. This is asking for funding for $2 million, which would be used to extend sewer and water under the New York State Thruway so that it could reach a piece of property which everyone may know because it is the site of the old Quality Inn structure and property. So that is a large existing building which is currently vacant. It has been sold in the sense of it's in a purchase and sale agreement to RUPCO. They are actively looking to develop as homeless or permanent housing for homeless. And as far as how it fits into use of funds for the American Rescue Plan Act, it is a use of funds that would definitely provide a service to impacted individuals. Homeless and low-income people are identified as populations that have been very vulnerable in this pandemic, so we see that as a good outcome. There also is infrastructure specifically stated, including water and sewer, stated in the American Rescue Plan Act. I'll stop there.
Thank you. Deputy Executive Kelly. Whoopsie, turn your turn.
Yeah, I turned it on. Kevin O'Connor, I believe, just signed on from RUPCO, and Emily Hamilton is here from their team. So I was hoping that they could give a bit on the project as well.
Sure. And we also have Dennis Doyle here. So
there's Dennis.
Kevin O'Connor, would you like to introduce yourself and you know, give us an overview of the project?
Sure. Thank you, Laura. Kevin O'Connor, CEO of RUPCO, joined by Emily Hamilton on my team. I'm not sure if anyone else is here, but so we see the opportunity to purchase the Quality Inn to take what was a 140 some odd room hotel and create about 80 apartments. A mix of studio 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms to create permanent supportive housing for the homeless. We're partnering with the Family of Woodstock and Catholic Charities on this project. We have already secured an Empire State Supportive Housing Initiative Award to provide significant operating and supportive service dollars indefinitely for the project. So we are now looking to pursue some of the capital funding to help us to acquire and adaptively reuse this property. We've hired Mass Design, which is one of the or the largest nonprofit architectural firm in the world, with an office in Poughkeepsie. Mass brings trauma-informed design, compassionate care design. They're a leader in that field, so that really all things in the design are going to help to create a sense of well-being for the people that we're serving. Light, air, space, color, indoor, outdoor stuff. We hope to transform the hotel. Again, into the 80 apartments, but to make it stop looking like a former hotel. We intend to keep the pool. We're going to have service space. We hope to have daycare on site. We'll purchase a bus to provide transportation. We know there's a couple of other motels currently operating out on the 28 corridor, and we see some people walking, so we'd like to have our own bus transportation. An array of services the money is committed, and so we're excited about that. The restaurant space, the former Rudigan Steakhouse, we're putting out to potential restaurant franchise use or potential social service type of use. We're really looking at the full gamut of potentiality for the restaurant space. And if I didn't mention it, we do intend to keep the pool as a therapeutic element in the housing. We think that by providing 80 units of homeless housing at this location, permanent, supportive, we'll be able to save the county countless dollars in terms of emergency placement and other costs associated when folks become homeless and when folks are not receiving some of the services that they need. We have already have a commitment for tremendous operating support through the Empire State Supportive Housing Initiative, as I've mentioned. And we're going to be seeking about an additional $20 million in capital. So I think we're meeting a tremendous need, saving the county money, attracting and leveraging other dollars. And I know the town is interested in their desire to see the water and sewer go beyond this location, but to bring it to that side of the thruway will offer additional benefits. And so that's the project in a nutshell. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Legislator Litz.
Yes, thank you. I realize that the county is putting up the money or ARPA funds to construct the water and sewer. I'm going to assume that the maintenance and jurisdiction going forward will be the town of Ulster. Can somebody say yes for the record?
Yes, for the record.
Thank you.
I can give you a little just a little more Deputy context.
Executive Kelly, Deputy Executive Ryder, and Dennis Doyle all said yes.
So just a little color to that is I know Kevin just directly with Supervisor Quigley, and then myself and Dennis Doyle, we've all been engaged with him for more than 6 months now, just to understand the project, and we'll be partnering with him on the water. County typically doesn't get involved in owning water systems, so the supervisor is certainly going to be taking on the water and sewer district, and then it'll be fee for service for the use to the district.
I have a feeling Legislator Green's going to ask my question. Legislator, thank you. There you go.
Sorry.
We hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble with my cell phone. Why don't you ask your question? And if it's not the same, I'll follow. In the meantime, I'll get my computer working.
Okay. This is another project. I had many questions that I did ask. I did hear back from Director Iaposi, who mentioned that we have 55 families in temporary housing. That's about 180 individuals altogether. So this project will make another big impact as far as our housing unit shortage in the county. But to follow up on that, I did have two questions. One is the $2 million that the ask is, it says it's approximate. So what would happen should it go over that $2 million? And then, of course, I mean, this is a REPCO project, so I probably don't need to ask, but the capital projects per NEDI, I think that was Resolution 558 from last year, but there should be a component of green within that project. And I believe many of your projects do already include solar and geothermal, but would you be able to address that a little bit more?
Yeah, we are seeking both some construction drawings from the architect and looking to make application for a couple of different funding sources. We'll be going to New York State, OTDA, Office of Temporary Disability Assistance, for their homeless housing assistance program that provides capital dollars, and HCR for a couple of funding programs that, and yes, we, in addition to a compassionate care design, we hope to, again, transform the space, both the physical indoor, the cladding, and also add, green elements to the outdoors. And we will be looking to do, as much of a green envelope as possible in terms of the HVAC system and, tightening the building envelope to make it as energy efficient and sustainable. Haven't gotten down to, final decisions yet with the engineer. We're still a little short of that, but we're committed. We've been a member of the U.S. Green Building Council since 2006. We just completed the first net zero for housing project in the affordable housing realm with Energy Square. And we're going to look to try to bring those elements as well. But it's a big task, and we're not fully through design yet, but we can certainly keep everyone informed of how that progresses. And that's where we want to go.
Okay, so we have Legislator Green, then Legislator Stewart, and then Deputy Executive Kelly. Oh, man, did we lose? There you are.
When we talked about this before, I believe it was in ARPA, I specifically asked about, if I could get some details on green building and renewable energy and solar. I haven't received anything, and I guess that's because it's still in the planning stages. But I also want to be sure that it is absolutely important to do a deep energy retrofit on the building so that we're not wasting whatever heating and cooling source that the building is well insulated. But I also want to be sure that if it is, that healthy home standards are applied so that we're not trapping mold and mildew and, you know, other sources of indoor air pollution that would, you know, reduce indoor air quality. So I would like to see whatever specifications are already in place or being considered. We have had cases, including at least one case that I'm aware of with RUPCO, where there was an indoor air quality problem. And we don't need to go into that, but I just want to be sure that whatever information is available on green building, solar, and ensuring healthful air quality in this renovation. I'm very interested in seeing that information. I had raised it before and didn't hear anything back.
Legislator Stewart.
I'd like to respond if I may.
Sure, I'm sorry.
So I think you're referring to a week ago when we appeared for the ARPA. So we're simply not there yet, Manager. We have, we're in pre-development stage, but we are committed to explore a very green approach to the project. But of course, we have to seek capital dollars as well. And just want to clarify, I think you're referring to a Section 8 situation where a landlord had, with a tenant that was receiving federal Section 8 dollars, had an air quality. Currently not in one of RUPCO's owned and developed buildings. So that was a private landlord situation that I think that you're referring to, and just wanted to clarify.
You're correct. Thank you. But I am concerned about the vagueness of the other two issues that I raised. And also, you know, just moving forward for the families that are going to be living there, that healthy home indoor air quality is absolutely protected.
Yeah, well, that's part of why we're here. You know, RUPCO responded to the situation in some of the boarding homes to create and develop a landmark place. The reason we're here today is because we have seen the horrendous conditions that people are living in hotels and motels and some of the boarding homes and things. And so we're all about trying to create a very compassionate care design that is going to be as green as possible. There's no vagueness, only that, this is a capital project for that we're estimating somewhere between $20 and $30 million. And, if someone wants to step up and commit dollars, then we can commit our design. But we will definitely share the design. We'll open it up. There's a lot of stakeholders, and I think that we absolutely share your concern for sustainability, energy efficiency, indoor air quality, and a total health package, compassionate care design in totality to bring. That's where you have a very high aspirational goal here, and I think be happy to stay in dialogue as we have the opportunity to develop. We're still just a little premature, Manager, but we're going to get there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Legislator Stewart.
I had raised my hand initially to ask if you were planning on installing solar panels and that sort of thing on top of the roof. And I think we've kind of gone over that already. I just think this is a very exciting project and, wow, it's desperately needed. I also wanted to say that I think it's really great that you're planning on keeping the swimming pool there, which I think is a wonderful thing for recreation and health purposes. And I believe there are plans for community gardens with this. Are there not?
Yes, we hope to there's a green space and a lot that we're purchasing in between the hotel and the thruway, and we think that that plus the parking lot in front is a little overdone. So we think there's ample room to create some, love to have a walking labyrinth, growing of food, some gardens, that type of thing, recreation for children. Again, we're creating housing both for families and individuals. You heard the numbers that Laura mentioned, I believe, earlier. The numbers are pretty significant. So so developing of the outer space is very important as well.
Well, like I said, I think it's just very exciting. And this question is not really addressed to you so much as to other members of the committee. I was just curious as to we're allocating $2 million of ARPA funding to this. I mean, how much additional ARPA funding do we have? And all of this money is going strictly to water and sewer, correct? And I was just curious, like, how much additional funding we have for that sort of projects, for those sort of projects.
Deputy Executive Kelly has the answer for that.
So in terms of, so the $2 million for water and sewer, are you saying, are you asking for all other projects or just water, sewer, or housing?
Well, like, for example, in my district, I mean, the town of Marbletown is looking to extend municipal water lines from SUNY Ulster to 209. And, you know, I was wondering, like, how much additional funding would be available for additional projects aside from, you know, this great thing that RUPCO is doing?
I think that's a fair question. I think based on our, you know, I will say this, that when we had our discussions over the past, I guess, 9 or so months, we didn't have all of the great ideas on our table, on our plate at the time. So certainly the buckets that were designed, I think, are still a good framework that we've all been working in. But in discussions with Chair Bartels and with Legislator Criswell, who's chairing the ARP Special Committee, I think there certainly has to be a re-look at how we're allocating funds and where we are so we can have that level set. I've had Nate and the ARP team begin to kind of look at that as a whole so we can get back down to what's left. And then I think it's up to all of us to say what's next, right? I think housing projects is certainly addressing a desperate and high need throughout the county. So so I think that that's something that we should all be very excited and committed to. Water and sewer is certainly one of the four called for uses within the legislation. It's not something that traditionally the county jumps in, but it's not unheard of. We've done it through community development funds that we've done through capital, I believe, up on Kings Highway. For me, it's let's have that conversation and let's see what the real need is and what the projects are that fit the criteria for good sewer and water, and then we can design that program as well, because that's what we fully intend. We've certainly heard from legislators and municipalities in our separate conversations that that's something that everybody's looking to undertake, and maybe we can catalyze our funding with some of the state infrastructure and transportation money that is, you know, supposedly coming down, so we can kind of build bigger projects. I just wanted to also answer Chair Petit's question regarding something near and dear to my heart as a recovering budget analyst. What happens if we go over budget?
Yeah.
Well, then I have to have lots of hard meetings with the ARP team and the engineers on the project and figure out why we're over budget. The pricing that's come from Dennis Larios, who's a well-known good engineer within this regard. So we have a good level of confidence, like we would that anytime an engineer of his expertise gives us the estimates. But in the case that something comes in higher, I'll be coming back. I mean, I think that's the case with any capital project, but we felt solid that this estimate has stayed consistent throughout our conversations.
Thank you. Deputy Executive Ryder, did you want to go ahead of Legislator Green to respond to another question?
I was just adding, and Chris added it at the end there, but just to highlight and clarify, we have to come back here. So if it's over 2 million, we're coming to you with 2 million. If it's over 2 million, we have to come back for your approval to spend more than $2 million. That's the key part, I think.
Right. As long as we didn't spend it all already. Legislator Green.
Yeah, I wanted to stress what Deputy Kelly said, and that is that there is infrastructure money coming, and it's from the federal government through the state. So there is going to be another pot of money, and I think that's one of the challenges for ARPA, for the special committee, is to figure out, you know, just tonight, I believe we went from 34 to 33 and now down to 31 if these projects that we've been discussing are approved. So, you know, how to prioritize what needs to come out of ARPA funding and what can be put into a new set of projects that are for infrastructure. And, you know, it would be helpful to keep us posted as to where things stand with infrastructure funding.
Thank you. So I think out of all the ARPA resolutions, this is the one I had the most questions on, but I'm also the most comfortable with moving forward on it. So what is the pleasure of the committee? Should we call the vote?
Call the question, please.
Okay. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Right. Any opposed, even though five of you said aye? Okay. Thank you. Moving on to resolution 33, 35, and 36. I believe they're all for the McKinstry Bridge. Could we
get a motion that we block the those three resolutions?
Thank you, Legislator Nolan. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Let's. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All in favor. None opposed. So make a motion to, I guess we're opening up the block of resolutions for discussion.
Yeah, I make a motion that we approve the block, and so that can open that for discussion.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. All right, now we're ready to discuss. Do we have any questions since we still have the Public Works team hanging in there? No questions?
Call the question.
Call the question. Okay. All in favor of, all in favor. I'm sorry, it's been a long day.
Aye.
Fabiano? Aye. Okay. All in favor, none opposed. All right, well, that one was easy. Moving on.
Laura?
Yes.
Laura? Yes. Dennis. I'm going to ask a favor of the committee. I am scheduled to go to the Economic Development Committee at 6:30.
Okay.
Dennis, it can't happen until after this.
Never mind. Thank you.
Yeah, Dennis, I'm going with you. I'm on that committee.
Let's just work through this as quick. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right. So we have resolution number 37, establishing capital projects 619 and 620, large covert program.
I'll move it.
Seconded
by Nolan. Do we have any questions on this one? Legislator Litz?
Yeah, one question. This is for materials only, so I assume that DPW is going to do the work in-house?
That's correct.
Yes.
Legislator Stewart, did you have a question?
I did. I know that the DEP, at least I believe it's the DEP, and Man and Joe might be able to answer this if I'm incorrect, is about to do a survey of culverts throughout the county. And I was just wondering, is this work going to conform to those standards? Or, I mean, I guess my question is, whose standards are these culverts being built under? Is that the county standards?
We have to get permitting from the DEC. We have to apply for permits for them, and they review.
So it is from the DEC. Plan. Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
DEP.
Oh, DEP. Excuse me.
No, the DEC approves the permits. So Legislator Stewart's question, I think, is more about coordination with DEP, with Ulster County DPW. And does that take place? Is there overlap on who has management of these various culverts? Is that
sure? So that is my question, and thank you for clarifying my own question.
Legislator
Fabiano, and then Brendan Masterson.
DEP is City of New York. What do they have to do with culverts throughout Ulster County?
They don't. I thought someone said DEP, and I was repeating that. So.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, now I understand.
Yeah. Okay. So yes, my apologies.
Throughout the county, we have to coordinate with the DEC for classified streams. We have to do design in conformance with that. If we're working within the Ashokan watershed, we have additional requirements that we have to meet with the DEP.
Correct.
Legislator Litz, did I see your hand? Oh, there you go.
Well, I was just going to a point of clarification for Eric. They're designed by an engineer to current engineering practice standards. The inventory you were talking about earlier is just to identify the culverts and what condition they're in. And that list will generate a priority listing of what culverts need to be worked on next. But this particular resolution is for two particular culverts that are named, and we know they have issues and problems and need the work done. And this is to buy the materials so that DPW can perform the work in-house, thus saving us money rather than going out to contract.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Okay, so if there's no further conversation, I'd like to call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? No. Okay, that passes. Resolution number 39, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to amend an agreement with the New York State Unified Court System. Motion for discussion?
I move it.
Legislator Nolan, seconded by Legislator Litz. Do we have any questions on this one? Legislator Litz.
It appears that this is to pay for the cleaning or reimburse us for the cleaning from April of 2021 to March of 2022. Is that correct?
That is correct. We are at the liberty of the states giving us the contract.
But I mean, this is an extension of an agreement we've had for years. Why are we asking to get paid at the tail end rather than extending the work on the front end?
Historically, the process behind it is we have to work through the state court system in order to get our reimbursement. The contract comes from them. We get it probably, we got it about a month ago. We got it to you as quickly as we could.
So I'll suggest we put in for the next 5 years today.
I think so. Typically, kind of the bigger fish gets to decide the contract requirements. And in this case, unfortunately, the state of New York trumps the county of Ulster. So we're kind of left to what the court system wants to do when they submit the contract to us. When we work with other municipalities or other, you know, then sometimes we get to dictate those, not in this case.
It's just that they're giving us a contract for work that we've already done.
Correct.
That's kind of backwards, but I understand. I work in government.
It would be even worse not to get paid for it.
Well, we haven't gotten paid yet.
Let's pass this resolution.
I'll call the question.
Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so moved. Resolution number 40, amending the 2022-27 Capital Improvement Program, establishing Capital Project 617, purchase of county fleet vehicles. Do we have move for discussion?
So moved.
Second.
Legislator Stewart, seconded by Legislator Litz. And this one I've been I've gotten quite a bit of information on. I'll probably turn it back over to Brendan Masterson. But, you know, we are looking at a policy with our Climate Smart pledge to increase the hybrid and EV vehicles that we have within the county. And we have some good news as far as this purchase goes. Brendan?
So with regard to this capital, not including the sheriff's vehicles, we have 13 out of the 16 are going to be an alternatively powered hybrid vehicle. We understand where the ledge is coming from, and we're on board, and we're trying to meet the goals that you guys have set forth.
Any other questions, comments? Legislator Nolan?
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so I'll call the question then. Deputy
actually, I had a question. I just can't seem to get my hand up in time. I'm sorry.
You have to fly out.
So, you know, I think it's awesome that we're, you know, moving over to electric vehicles. I was just curious, like funding for additional installation of additional EV chargers. I mean, is that to follow or...
We have projects, and that typically comes out of Department of the Environment because they're constantly seeking NYSERDA money, and where a lot of the money that's left with NYSERDA on EV infrastructure is in the site work, not so much in the purchase of the equipment. But we're continuing. We have phases that the Department of the Environment's working on, you know, making sure that we have the EV chargers in strategic places for the fleet, first and foremost,
right,
and secondarily meeting the demand of putting EV stations where it makes sense as far as the Ashokan Rail Trail at some point and other uses for the public as well.
Right. Because obviously it's difficult to have an electric fleet if there's not enough chargers around. So
correct.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry, I had one other question too, and I was wondering if the bus, I understand there's three new UCAT buses that are electrified, are they included in this 26 vehicles, or is that a separate thing?
That's separate.
Yeah, that's federal transportation money, so that's done on a separate capital than in the fleet.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
I just wanted to add one thing that Commissioner Masterson said, which was, you know, he said taking out the sheriff's vehicles. But even with the sheriff's vehicles, we're purchasing 10 for them and three of them are hybrids. So we're still meeting, even in those purchases, we're meeting the goals set forth by the legislature, even in the more aggressive goals that you'll be taking up this month.
Legislator Litz and then Legislator Stewart.
And Eric, in the infrastructure, federal infrastructure bill, I believe, don't quote me on this, but I think it's $14 billion for electrical charging stations.
Wow.
So there should be some money coming, filtering through the state down to us to put in additionals.
Well, that's great to hear. Thank you. And my other question was, what's the problem with the vehicles going to the sheriff's department? I mean, why aren't those electric as well?
Deputy Executive Ryder?
I can defer to Chris, but it has to do with pursuit ratings, and it, depending on what they're using them for, there's not a lot of EVs or hybrids that are on the patrol side that have come through yet. There's a Ford, and I know one agency has a Tesla, but they're not abundant out there yet.
I'll just add a little to that. In discussion with the sheriff, he's also got an aging and kind of it's the most heavily used part of our fleet next to, I'm sure, Brendan's vehicles in DPW. So he has a need. And right now we're dealing with a kind of a purchasing issue where last year I think we ordered two or three of the Ford hybrid pursuit rated vehicles and we're still waiting. And I think that's pushing into about a 7-month, 8-month lead time because these are built to spec. So what the sheriff is trying to do in order to replace fleet vehicles that are no longer serviceable is get some of the Durangos that we're not crazy about, but they are on lot because somebody went through from another municipality and purchased more than needed. So they exist out there and they won't take 8 months to get. There is a severe backlog on certain vehicles right now that it's just a challenge. But I can say in terms of the sheriff is there wasn't a resistance on this. You know, I do want to talk to him. I think it was Chair Bartels maybe last night on another meeting. We were talking about a Tesla. I know there's a Mustang. I think it's a Mach-E. You know, they're a bit expensive. They're fully electric. We have to be careful about how we deploy it because there's not full charging infrastructure on the western and northern part of the county. But it's certainly something that we would be excited to pursue at some point.
I'll volunteer to road test.
I'm with you.
Especially that Mustang, huh?
Yep.
If there's no other questions, I'd like to call the question on this resolution. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? No. The passed unanimously. We have resolution number 42, establishing capital project 618, purchase of highway equipment. Motion to bring it for discussion?
So moved.
Legislator Litz?
Second.
Legislator Nolan? I don't suppose they have electric loaders, huh?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah? Legislator,
Crap Rock used electric loaders since the, I think, late 50s, early 60s in the quarry over in Dutchess County. But anyway, that's off the topic. Do we have a list of equipment that we're going to replace?
Yeah, that was submitted as the backup.
No, because I didn't get the backup.
Would you mind just going over it real quick? I think there were, what, 9?
Yeah.
More than that.
Brendan, do you have it?
Yeah, I got the list in front of me.
Okay.
4 tandem snow plows, 4 crewman trucks, 3 of which we've lost due to accidents, not our fault, over the past 2 years. 2 more dump trucks, 3 parking lot pickup trucks with plows and sanders, 2 mini excavators, 3 more heavy duty single cab pickup trucks for patrol, 1 more hot box trailer, which we had bought 2 last year to extend our cold patch season, which is working out really well. Replace one of our older Bobcats with buckets and forks. We need a new tree truck for the Kingston unit, our biggest truck. And we need to start cycling out our chippers. We're looking for 1 chipper.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, if there's no other questions, I'll call the question on resolution number 42. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Right, so moved. The next resolutions are all contractual. So if it's all right with the committee, if we could bundle resolutions. Oh, wait a second. Did I miss one? Can we do 44 through 51, or is 44 different? Deputy Executive Ryder, is that, yeah?
I think it's okay. They're all slightly, so 46 through 51 are all different paving processes that went out to bid. 44 is geostabilization, but if you want to bundle or block them all together, I think that would be fine.
Did anyone have specific questions, or are you okay with bundling these?
Make a motion, we bundle them from resolution 44 through 51.
I'll second that.
Second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
None opposed. Okay. Now the next, do we actually have to make a motion on this to open it for discussion? Okay. So a motion to open up the discussion on bundles 44 through 51. Legislator Litz?
So moved.
Okay. Second. Legislator Nolan. Do we have any discussion? Yes. Legislator Litz?
Yes. Couple of questions. We're amending these contracts. Is this an extension of last year's contracts, or are we increasing the funding for what reason?
So, if you don't mind, Mark, if you want, sorry.
So these are almost all new contracts, and they went out to bid over the winter. We typically bid these each year for most. Sometimes we do multi-years, but not very often.
I think one
and
of them.
And we also don't have specific roads yet, because for many of these, we wait until what the winter damage has done before we choose the roads. A few of them, we might know which roads we're doing.
Legislator Litz?
Follow-up question. So these are not from the OGS contract list? We went out to contract on these. Did we compare them to the OGS?
In general, we come in cheaper. We're more competitive.
All right. I just want to make sure we do come in cheaper, because if we're paying more money than we can get it on OGS state contract, I don't think we should be doing that. And I still want to know, why are we – all right. Most of these are executing a contract to exceed 50,000. That part I understand. But –
Legislator Litz, if I could, the reason their rates over 50,000 is because we don't have an exact not to exceed yet, because we don't know exactly which roads, which processes will be done on. So we come to you in two different ways. If we know that we're going to spend more than 50, but it's just a rates contract set out by the bid, we will come to you. If we know the exact, almost the exact numbers and roadways, then we would come to you with a not to exceed contract. We're not doing that in this case.
And to add on to that, how these are funded are typically through CHIPS, Pave New York, and EWR, with the exception of the capital project we have for various roads, which will also be brought to you when we have the list of roads ready for you.
Okay, so once they're designated, they'll come back for a vote from the legislature.
No, not necessarily, but we cannot exceed the funding that you have provided to us.
Right.
Well, I understand, but it says this is an amendment for the rates anticipated to exceed $50,000. So are we voting to exceed the $50,000, or are we holding it to 50 and you have to come back when it goes over 50? This resolution says we're authorizing you to go to beyond $50,000.
But we also have a budget that you have funded for these various projects. So these contracts all go, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 projects that, as Don said, have about 4 pools of money that we have to get them funded from. We cannot exceed those 4 pools of money with these contracts in totality. If we need to exceed that amount of funding, we have to come back to you.
So, and to elaborate on that a little bit, the budget you passed was funded based off of CHIPS and Pave New York as of last year. We'll be coming to you when we get our official letter for you to increase that amount based off of any increase in that and the EWR funds. And we'll also be coming to you, I believe, next month, as long as everything pans out, for the various roads capital, which will be the other side of this for the funding. So the contracts themselves don't have a not to exceed, we are capped by those dollars that you approve.
Okay. But the EWR and the CHIPS funds are going up quite a bit, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Correct. And so we'll ask for – I'm sorry.
I said we should all be happy.
Absolutely.
And I think I had asked the same question you did about what roads, the geo stabilization, that's for Route 28. That's one of the slated locations.
Yeah, currently we've identified that one spot on 28A. We use this outfit quite a bit for our unique topography that we have. And I believe I have another site preliminary identified in your town. So we may be coming to see you.
Okay.
Just for the record. Resolution number 45 is an extension, it appears to me, of term, but all the others are new bids.
That's correct.
So are you okay, Legislator Litz, to move forward, or?
Call the question.
Okay.
Call the block.
Call the block. Okay. So on block number 44 through 51,
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. And I've got to move my screen down. Resolution number 52, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $10,000, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Alleymore Inc. and Pet Masters. Motion to discuss?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Okay. Did I say Alley Cat instead of Alleymore? Second. Legislator Nolan. Legislator Litz.
I see this as an unintended consequence for the Living Wage Act.
Yeah.
When we passed that act, we said there's actually no cost to the county. It's $15 an hour, and there's no cost to the county. And unfortunately, this is going to be a $10,000 increase cost to the county because this money is to pay $15 an hour. And unfortunately, when we passed that, there were other unintended consequences. We have youth programs that are back funded by the federal government. Federal government's not giving any more money. So what's going to happen is we're going to employ less youth this year by a third or maybe a half. So the whole program is to develop work ethic in our youth. But what's going to happen is we're going to develop a lot less because of an unintended consequence.
And to follow up on that, Legislator Maloney and I had submitted another cost of living increase, and I spoke to Comptroller Gallagher today because we have several resolutions coming before us in health, human services, and housing because of the increases. And they're almost doubling the contract. So we're going to have to revisit that. I'm still a firm believer that even at 15 an hour, it's not enough to live and certainly not thrive in Ulster County. But that says a lot also for what some of our contractors are paying their employees. You know, maybe we should take a look at hiring more county employees and paying a better salary and giving them, you know, state retirement and health benefits and all that good stuff. So, but that point well taken, Legislator Litz. So with that, if Legislator Stewart.
I just had a quick question. So this is strictly related to hourly wage or living wage issues as opposed to an increase in animal carcasses. I thought maybe this was because of that illness that affected deer and there was like such a massive deer die-off.
Yeah,
but that has nothing to do with it.
If I may, this is a rate contract that's based off of per diem for animal carcass. So the original contract was for $21,000. We've amended it three times since then in 2019 to add additional funds simply because of the amount of carcasses we've had to remove, which in to Legislator Stewart's part has been in part due to the deer problem we're having. This $10,000 is just an increase per that per animal increase.
If I could clarify, and it may help on this amendment, but it'll help on a lot of other amendments you see going forward. The living wage law requires us to, anytime we amend a contract or have a new contract, to have the living wage language inserted. Yeah, just because that language is added in here doesn't mean the increase of the contract has to do with the living wage. So here you see it, but again, it has nothing to do with living wage because it doesn't affect this contract because the contractors are already paid over the $15 an hour. And any of the social services contracts that you'll see this month have that language in it, but again, it may or may not affect the overall rates depending on what they were paying their employees.
So just to clarify, the increase is because of the increased number of dead deer.
Right.
It's partially. It's extending the contract, correct, Don?
That's correct.
We're adding another year, so we have to add more money, and we've also exceeded the amount. Legislator Stewart, as I was saying on the other contracts, we often come to you with not to exceed contracts. Once we come close to exceeding that amount, we have to amend the contracts to increase the money. So sometimes it'll be adding a full year term, just extending a contract term and adding a year's worth of money onto it, which is what we're doing here.
Great. Thank you for that. And thanks everyone for their clarifications to my questions. This is kind of intimidating just, you know, as my first meeting. So thank you all for helping me out.
Okay, if there's no other questions, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All in favor, none opposed. Any opposed? All right, thank you. Next we have resolution number 52. Nope, we already did that one. Resolution number 53, establishing capital project number 616, Axon body camera purchase, amending the 2022-27 capital improvement program. Did you get that, Nettie? Legislator Nolan moved and Legislator Litt second. Do we have any discussion on this? Because there's quite a bit of discussion last night at the chair committee meeting. Deputy Executive Kelly.
I'll just say that the sheriff did show up at the committee chair meeting last night and is bringing an Axon representative to the law enforcement committee on Thursday to go through all the details on this project. And this was also part of the 2022 approved capital program.
And the comment was, we had purchased the previous body cams only about 3 years ago, but they were analog. And of course, those were antiquated and outdated before, I guess, we even got them on our officers. So these are digital. They will go into the cloud. They are nearly immediately accessible, in the event that they need the backup documentation. And I also believe they said the older units will be passed along to the COs until they're ready to replace those. So, Legislator Stewart.
I'm just curious, like, this seems like an unusual thing to be coming before us. I was just curious why that's the case.
Deputy Executive Ryder.
You can say, it's a capital project. So anytime we bring, anytime we're bonding funds for a purchase or a project, it has to come before this committee.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, so with
thanks.
That,
yeah.
Call the vote. There's no further questions. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so moved. Resolution number 55, amending capital project number 482, countywide radio system, Department of Emergency Communications. I'd like to move it for discussion.
Move it.
Legislator Nolan, seconded by Legislator Litz and Fabiano. Any discussion on this one? It was brought up at the chair committee meeting last night that this replacement is an ongoing project. But I think it's gone over the $20 million that we had allocated. Has there been any information on that? Or was the other funding, was that allocated for other you know, projects within this communication? Deputy Executive Kelly.
So I think, this is all state funded. This is 100% funded through state revenues. Much of this project will be as well. This has been ongoing for years. Dennis, I don't know if you can, Dennis, you've been quite a bit more involved than I have, if you wanted to take some questions on this, but I also, what the chair of law enforcement, Legislator Ucatel has requested is just basically a timeline of where we started, where we are today, and what next steps are for the entire countywide interoperable radio system. So I've been bugging my department head, Edward Erickson, and we plan on producing that as well. But Dennis, I'll defer to you since you've been part of this project as well.
No, I think it's safe to say that it's been around for a while, and it is fully state funded. And is, in addition to this, we're also doing a lot of work to move our analog system of communication into a simulcast system and erecting additional towers. And this legislature did approve the construction of an additional radio tower in Saugerties, and we're currently analyzing an RFP to reconstruct a tower we have on Tonchi Mountain, and we have another three or four more towers that we have to site.
Deputy Executive Ryder.
At one point in the capital program, this was a $40 million or $39 to $40 million project. So, I mean, yes, we're coming up upon $22 million, but some of the work that has been identified is going to be about $18 to $20 million in savings from what was at one point anticipated as a $39 million project.
Okay. And what about the is there an end in sight? Because I think when I was a legislator back in 2008, we had been discussing the replacement of emergency communications. And I'm also on the Ulster County Fire Advisory Board, and they'll hold up their radios like, Laura, do you hear this? And it's all garbled and staticky. And when they're up in Denning, they have to use certain cell phones because the radios don't cover it all. So is there an end in sight?
Flowers, boy, when they open up, they're going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
So, as you can, with respect to the tower facilities, as you can understand, they are a bit of an unwanted land use in many instances. So we run through a lot of local opposition, and we have to be careful where we site them because the towers have to talk to each other. So we have identified locations in Shandaken, and we have identified locations in Rosendale. We're currently doing some preliminary path studies. Then we'll do an alternatives analysis, et cetera. But we're in the process of hiring one consultant, and then we'll go out to bid for the rest of an RFP for the rest of those towers. So is there an end in sight? I would say within a 2-year time frame, we should be well along in terms of having the communication systems equipped. And then those communication systems get put into something called a new government operations center. So it all becomes operable at the same time.
Are there any other questions? Okay, so with that, I'll call the question on resolution number 55. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so moved. Two more to go. Resolution number 57, establishing capital project number 621, voting system replacement. Motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
Legislator Nolan?
Second it.
Legislator Fabiano? Any discussion on this? I think we had asked again at the chair committee meeting if IS or the Board of Election IT had weighed in, and we were told that this is a pretty standard model for voting machines. It's used throughout the state. Deputy Executive Kelly?
Yeah, I'm happy to answer on that. So the State Board of Elections is in charge of certifying all voting machines. And what happened, so in 2006, 7, and 8, when they switched from lever voting machines to these ballot devices, they basically told the counties that you could select from two or three machines. And that's what happened. The same process is ongoing now. The price that the commissioners gave us is based on their known system produced by Dominion. So they suspect that it'll come in. They also suspect that that'll be an approved voting machine. So we'll have to see what the state ultimately selects, and then we get to pick from those.
Okay. Legislator Stewart.
I assume, well, at least I hope that these voting systems will have a paper ballot backup so that there's a paper trail that can be checked. Is that correct?
To the best of my knowledge, that those were the only ones that were certified in all of New York State. When I worked for elections, it was the same machine that the Dominion voting machine that's being used today. So I don't think I get the sense in conversations with either commissioner that that's going to deviate. But I would encourage you guys to follow up with either Commissioner Quigley or Dittus.
Yeah, as well. Because if there's not a paper ballot that you can check, it's a real problem in my book.
Yeah.
It's been a key criterion for at least one of the commissioners for the past decade or more. So I think we would be hearing about it if any of the alternatives did not offer a paper trail. But we should follow up. It's a great question.
Excellent.
Will they be preset for outcomes?
Yes, we've also had that for decades. The outcome will be
not too long. Everybody's getting a sense of humor.
The outcome will be the person who has the highest number of votes.
Not if they're preset.
Okay. So with that, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. And Legislator Stewart, I'll check on that tomorrow, and I'll shoot an email out, or I'll get it to our clerk.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Final resolution number 59, authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute an agreement with New York State Department of Transportation to fund the Ulster County Transportation Council with the Ulster County Planning Department as host agency. Motion to discuss?
I will move it.
Legislator, I'm delighted to second.
Okay, Legislator Nolan, thank you. I did have questions. It's significant. Is this pass-through money as well? It's a $7 million contract.
Actually, no, it's not pass-through money. The federal government creates something called an MPO, which means Metropolitan Planning Organization. The governor authorizes those to be established in areas where there is a metropolitan area greater than 50,000. There is one in Ulster County. It's basically the city in Kingston and environs. We also serve the entire county area, as well as are responsible for planning in something called a TMA, which is the Transportation Management Area, which includes the counties of Orange and Dutchess. And by putting it in as a host agency, the county is pledging a match for this. We have a 5% match of the total amount of money, and the state match is 15%. So if you look at the federal dollars, they're slightly less. But there are two planners in my office that essentially do nothing but transportation planning. And the agency essentially has its own set of bylaws, its own set of responsibilities. So you are literally acting as a, quote, host agency with respect to that. And the county does provide the necessary match, and that match is not a dollar amount. It's literally the wages that are paid to the current planners that are work there. So if literally you get about almost somewhere in the neighborhood of about $7 million for a match of about $400,000 over a course of 10 years. This is a 10-year program. We program somewhere in a neighborhood of about $600,000 a year in federal money to do necessary studies around the county and to do community work associated with transportation, issues. The examples I would give you is the recent study that we did in terms of road safety resulted in a traffic signal being able to be responded to relatively rapidly for a horrendous intersection in Gardner at the corner of Brunswick Road and 4455. The council's done studies that we pride ourselves on the fact of doing studies that result from plans to projects. So the new modern roundabout in Kingston was one of our studies that we did in 2009. We are currently involved in working with the town of Ulster to improve the Boyce's Lane railroad crossing. That was a study. If you've noticed the disappearance of traffic lights in uptown Kingston, that was a study that the council did that convinced the city to remove traffic lights. And I can go on and on with respect to the studies that we've done. We are also responsible for programming federal money. That includes all the FTA funding, as well as FHWA money for highways. So if some of your bridges are, if you see a TIP number or transportation improvement program on your bridges, those monies were programmed by the council. We programmed somewhere in a neighborhood of about $78 million over a 5-year period
through the Transportation Council, and that's on the federal highway side. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of about $20 to $25 million on an annual basis with respect to the transit funding that comes through the county. So it's an active organization. We have a great responsibility and I think outreach program with respect to local elected officials. And we operate on consensus, so that we're not taking majority votes. The council members essentially have to agree on consensus in order to move projects forward. And the council has permanent members, and it also has rotating members. The permanent members are literally the urbanized areas within the county, and the rotating members are essentially those folks that are more urban within the county itself. Legislator Litz is one of the members that regularly attends. And in addition, we have nearly all of the chief elected officials in the various towns and villages attend as well.
Thank you. Legislator Litz, your hand is up.
First of all, I have to unmute. The work that the Ulster County Transportation Council does is phenomenal. It's a great group. I can't give Dennis more accolades. Just one quick question. Dennis, is this new, or have we gotten this funding before through the DOT?
We have. This is a new host agreement. The one runs out in March, at the end of March. There is a little bit more money, but not a lot. There's about $60,000 or $70,000 more on an annual basis that gets programmed with respect to the Infrastructure and Jobs Act. So the funding stream itself is not new. The amount of dollars is up, and which is why it's here a little late in terms of where we want it to be, because the state kept amending the amount of money that we were going to get and putting it in the host agreement. So the short answer is that no, it's this funding stream hasn't changed. The amount of dollars have gone up.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't see any hands up for further discussion. Up, Legislator Stewart.
I'm sorry, I have another question. So now, would the Green Fleet funding come under this, or is that under some other program? I'm sorry.
No, the short answer is that vehicles that are used for general purposes would not. However, the funding that is used for transit vehicles does. So we program we program money for a bus replacement program.
This affects buses then.
Yes, buses would.
It is a lot of money.
Well, it is, but it, I'll give you an example that in terms of the amount of dollars that we're dealing with. The CARES Act money, when it was originally passed, the region, which is Orange, Dutchess, and Ulster, in terms of the amount of transit funding that was provided, was in the neighborhood of about $86 million. So it takes three transportation councils all coming together to agree how that money can be used.
Okay. So with that, I will call the vote on Resolution number 59, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so moved. I had hoped to have some discussion on new business and old, but I'm not. we've gone way over, and I'm sure Legislator Cahill would love to get started on his economic development committee meeting.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Okay, do I hear a second? I hear 3 seconds. Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. All in favor? Okay.
See you. Bye. Thank you all so much. Have a good night.
Bye, Laura. Bye, Rob.